This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The United States is in the midst of a foreclosure crisis, the very crisis that precipitated the so-called global financial meltdown. While the mass media inundates us on the need for bank bailouts, we hardly hear about the effects of foreclosures on people and their communities. What needs to be done so that ordinary people can be bailed out? On the line is Mary Raybon. She's a community organizer with PICO. PICO is a network of faith-based community organizations with affiliates in cities across the United States. And we reached Mary today in Kansas City, Missouri. Hello, Mary, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Good morning, Mordecai, and thank you.
How did you get involved in this foreclosure issue?
Well, I became involved because the widespread need for help for individual families. And myself, I'm going through problems with my own personal situation. And all through my neighborhood, my next-door neighbor's home now sits empty. And on our block, there are 7 empty properties. And going the other way on that block, there are about 5 empty properties. And this just duplicates itself throughout the whole city.
And were you involved in community organizing in your neighborhood prior to this?
Oh, yes, yes. I've always been involved in neighborhood organizing. We have a neighborhood association, Tri-Blenheim Neighborhood Association, of which I am secretary, and we've been doing this kind of thing for over 30 years.
You mentioned some of the foreclosures in your immediate location. How would you describe the scale of foreclosures?
It's widespread across the city, just not, it's no respecter of neighborhoods or income brackets, although as most catastrophes happen, the lower income of the spectrum seems to be hit harder because, the lower income people were the ones that were gotten into these predatory loans more so probably than others. But there's all sorts of reasons other than that. You know, people are losing jobs. You know, there's catastrophic illness that might cause a person to not be able to pay their mortgage any longer. So there's a lot of reasons, but it's widespread throughout the city.
You were saying a little bit, you referred to how people got into these situations. Could you elaborate a little bit on the kind of forces that brought people to lose their homes?
One of the things is, like I was kind of alluded to, is the predatory lenders who came into offering people a chance to refinance. Some of it was maybe home repairs and things like that that people needed to get done to their homes. So they refinanced at a lower interest rate, and they were put into adjustable rate mortgages, thinking that, you know, they were told that in a couple of years you will be able to refinance this and get into a fixed rate. Well, when those couple of years rolled around, they found that they were unable to refinance because their home had been appraised at a higher value than what it's actually worth. And then the more foreclosures that are taking place around you, it's still bringing the value of your home down as well. So there's no way that any bank will refinance you because you're what they call underwater in your loan. So you're unable to get a new loan based on what you had been told. And then a lot of people had 2 incomes and were able to pay, let's say their mortgage, they had a $500,000 mortgage. Well, because of all the foreclosures, the value is now maybe $200,000. They can pay the mortgage note on a $200,000 loan, but there's no way they can pay it on a $500,000 loan, and they can't get it refinanced because they already owe, that balance from the $500,000 one, so they can't get it refinanced, and it's just a vicious circle.
And what's happening to those people in that vicious circle as their mortgages are being foreclosed?
Well, some of them are ending up on the street. Some of them are ending up living with relatives. We have some of the people in our network who have lost their homes, but they are living with relatives. Parents, or parents are living with children, or everybody's just moving into one place, and it's uncomfortable, but, you know, they're not on the street. But then there are those who are homeless. They're living in cars. You know, they're just living anywhere and everywhere. Shelters are filling up very quickly, and it's just a really bad situation.
The sense I got from your earlier comments, lending institutions don't seem to be at all flexible in these circumstances, though the conditions are desperate for the people.
Correct. They've been pretty inflexible, because even though they got a large sum of money under the previous administration, they have not been forthcoming with credit for people, which was supposedly the reason they got the money, was so that they could get credit moving again, and that didn't happen. But that's why we're so happy to see under President Obama this new plan that will help lots of people, and that's what needs to happen.
Tell us a little bit more about that plan that the Obama administration just announced this week, I believe.
Right. What we'd like to see is a lot more of the money to come to low-income and minority families who are over 50 to 60%. What's going on with the plan that the president has is that people will get modifications, and it's through the Fannie Mae and Freddie loans that are out there, and they will be able to drop a person's mortgage to 38% of their income, and then the government will kick in 7%, and that will bring it down to 31% of their income, and they'll be able to get into fixed mortgages and so forth. So that is going to help at least about 3 to 4 million foreclosures that really are unnecessary.
And is that a compulsory rule that the lending institutions must drop their payments to that proportion of a person's monthly income, or is it optional?
It's, at this point, it's voluntary. But what we're asking, PICO is asking, that there be standard guidelines for loan modifications, so that all the banks receiving taxpayer bailout money would be required to implement those guidelines, and that the $75 billion is going to help many of the homeowners avoid foreclosure, because their monthly payments will be lowered to that 31% of their income. So we're thinking that, you know, these incentives for the servicers to modify the loans will help also those struggling borrowers before they fall behind on their payment.
You mentioned in passing that the issue was, of course, hitting many people, but particularly the impact was greater on already poor people. But you also referred to the race factor, that a lot of poverty is concentrated in the black community.
Yes, not only the black community, but also the Hispanic community, because a lot of the low-income and minority households are already paying, 50 to 60% of their income on their mortgage. So right there, that's going to create a hardship, because the lenders are not going to eat that, that big chunk from the 50 or 60% to the 38% that they would be dropping the payments to. So that's one of the holes that we want to kind of fill. You know, we want to make sure that that group isn't forgotten, that so that they can take advantage of this plan as well.
And you've also been involved in many protests and demonstrations. Do you see that more of that kind of effort of organizing will also be necessary?
Yes, I sure do. And one thing that we did here in Kansas City Tuesday, as a matter of fact, was there's a foreclosed property that's right next door to me, and some of the things that happen after homes are foreclosed in have just been overlooked in the media. But what happens is it causes an increase in violent crime because people come and go. They break into these homes. They steal all the things that are in there. And we were having illegal dumping right in front of this empty property. And the pile of trash was just growing and growing. And so we had an action in front of the house, in front of the trash, and the media came. And our city council person, Cindy Serco, came, and she made calls right there sitting on the curb and got the city to come out and clear away all that trash. So that was a very successful protest that we had. Right now, we are organizing, PICO is organizing a bus caravan, and it's called the Recovery Express Bus Caravan, and it's starting in Antioch, California, one of the hardest hit areas in the country as far as foreclosure. And so what's going to happen is a lot of PICO people who are going through this will get on that bus. They will have press conferences along the way. They'll stop in affiliate cities and pick up other people who are going through foreclosure problems. And then as they travel throughout the country, they'll have rallies at each stop. And they will be in Kansas City, Missouri on March 7th. And they will meet at our CCO office, and we'll have members of Congress, if we can get them out. We'll have other elected officials, neighborhood people, and the press to emphasize the problem. And we want to, just put forth our message that we want to prevent foreclosures and stabilize neighborhoods. And so that's another thing that we're doing. And then they're going to go all the way to Washington, D.C., where we will hopefully be able to meet with Treasury and put forth some of our suggestions that we've been talking about to Congress. And hopefully they will include that in the plan as they're working out the details.
Well, best of luck with that. It's really important. It's always from the grassroots up that anything happens.
That's right, and we have a great example in our president who started out as a neighborhood organizer. So we're really proud that he has that background because he knows how it should happen.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Mary Raybon. She's a housing activist with the PICO National Network in Kansas City, Missouri. And you can find out more about PICO by visiting their website at piconetwork.org.